Concordia University Chicago invites all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is October 28th to 30th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/C4C. cuchicago.edu/C4C.
What would discourage someone from going into church work? Well, it costs a lot to train for it, and it doesn't pay that well when you're done. You might live, along with your family, in a bubble. Maybe you have known a church worker that just seems kind of miserable, and that deterred you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about church worker recruitment. Dr. James Bonnick joins us. He is Executive Director of Pastoral Education for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Bonnick, welcome.
Thank you.
What is the biggest myth about church work?
The biggest myth that we're trying to bust right now is tuition cost. There was a time when tuition was extremely expensive for church workers, but in the last 3, 4, 5 years, the Concordias, the universities, and the seminaries are doing just a tremendous job at working at bringing those costs down, and we still have work to do, but they're coming down. For instance, the seminaries, there is no tuition for the Master of Divinity program. So someone's paying for that, obviously, but that's the donors. It's not the student. The Concordias, probably the best one right now is Concordia St. Paul. There's no tuition for pre-seminary and pre-deaconess. And then there's a $6,000 max for the other church work programs. The other Concordias are working very hard. They've got grants. Concordia Nebraska just put out a minimum of a $100,000 institutional aid. So we're working very hard. The institutions are working very hard at bringing those costs down. And I see that coming down more and more.
What's the biggest obstacle to becoming a church worker?
You know, this is going to sound trite, but I think the biggest obstacle is the world, our flesh, and the devil. And I say that because these vocations handle the gospel, especially the office of the pastor. That one mandated office in Scripture, he carries the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's always going to be an enemy of the world and even our own sinful flesh. And so with that, I think our students and our church workers, sometimes they get frustrated or they get surprised by these vocations not being pleasurable, or there's not as much fame as they thought, or you know, the world is wanting to go after financial security or luxury or prestige. And quite frankly, these offices don't have that. So I think the obstacle is, again, the world and our flesh and the devil always pushing against us, tempting us away from the Word and Christ and the cross.
Doesn't God's Word teach that all godly vocations are holy? And if so, why become a church worker?
Yeah, that's great. We've been talking about vocations quite a bit in the last year. We've been working across the board with different institutions like the Concordias, the seminaries, LCMS Youth, just defining what is vocation. And you are absolutely right. All godly vocations are certainly holy. Martin Luther, in his Table of Duties, of course, has a list of vocations. They're not exhaustive, of course, but they are some prime vocations. Those are holy. But when we talk about the vocations of the church, the office of the holy ministry, once again, is instituted by God himself. He commands the office of the ministry for the proclamation of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And it's not like a better vocation. It's not a holier. It's not a higher sanctified vocation, but it certainly is a high and honorable vocation. Luther talks about it being the highest office in the land, not in the sense of the person being so holy or high, but carrying that precious gospel, that one thing needful, Jesus Christ. to God's people. The other vocations in our church body, established in love by the church to support the office of the holy ministry, for instance, the Lutheran school teacher, the deaconess, director of Christian education, there are others. Those are also specific vocations that the church has developed and designated to support the office of the ministry, to teach children God's word, or to care for women and children with mercy and God's word. So all vocations are holy, of course, but these are specific vocations in the life of the church for the sake of the gospel.
Many are deterred from church work, as you mentioned earlier, for financial reasons. Many believe it costs a lot to train for and then doesn't pay well. How would you respond?
You know, the costs are high, even though we're working very hard. For instance, I said the seminaries and the Concordias are working very hard at bringing those down. And I think just talking about church work formation and recruitment, one of the main subjects that we're talking about is indeed the cost. On the other hand, we've kind of wrestled with all vocations are costly. You go be a veterinarian, you go be an engineer, go be a doctor. All those are going to be costly. And not all of those come out with high salaries either. So the pay is a concern, and certainly the churches should pay the wages due their worker. That's definitely true. One concern that I have that we are certainly talking about quite a bit is our Lutheran school teachers. Now, we really do need to be looking at the salaries of our Lutheran school teachers. The breadwinner of the home, it's difficult to support his family or her family off the wages of most Lutheran school teachers. So we're working with our district presidents, we're working with our district synod-wide Lutheran schools. This is a top priority topic. And I think to address that, it's going to take some time, but I think the root conversation is we're talking about the gospel here. We're talking about servants who are teaching our children the faith for forgiveness and eternal life. And I think we have to refocus on the one thing needful, and that is certainly our eternal salvation, saving faith. So the costs are high, and we're working especially on the end of salaries. That is an issue we're definitely working on.
Some think of church work, and they think it'll mean that their spouse and their family will live in a fishbowl. Is this true?
Well, it is. I was thinking about this just last night a little bit, and I was thinking all Christians live in a fishbowl to a certain point, and that is the world is kind of watching us. We're the enemy of the world, those who believe in Jesus Christ. So they're watching our sanctified life. They're watching how we act, what we say, listening to what we say. And so in today's culture, we're all being watched. But there is no doubt that the pastor, the Lutheran school teacher, there is a certain amount of living in a fishbowl. On the other hand, we're called to be above reproach, that our life is to be sanctified. It is to be honorable. We are to be moral and ethical in what we say and we do. I would also encourage our church workers, our pastors and teachers and others to set boundaries and to set priorities of not allowing yourself to always be in that fishbowl, to pull back sometimes with your family, to go away for your day off. It can be exhausting to know that you're kind of always on display. And yet we work with our own people, our members, our congregations and schools, help them to understand that our teachers and pastors need time to themselves. They need time away. And we also work with our workers in encouraging them to set the boundaries that are needed.
Some, sadly, have seen church workers treated poorly by congregations. Should this deter them from pursuing church work?
Well, certainly when our congregations treat pastors and church workers poorly, that's sinful. And I think we need to be able to call on that. I think our district presidents, our school administrators, when they see our laity treating our church workers not very well, And that can be in a number of ways. It can be crude remarks at a meeting. It can be how much they don't pay them. I think we need to call God's people to repentance and say that that is not how we treat one who carries the gospel to you in your life. This is a complicated issue, however. Sometimes I think we have to look at who's responsible. Is the pastor doing something? Is the church worker doing something for which they need to be corrected? But that doesn't mean they're corrected in a sinful way. We go to them, according to Matthew 18, of course, and talk to them privately about their faults. When a church member or church members are treating their worker poorly, I think we need to stress confession and absolution, that this is not the way that the church handles things. I think we need to deter our people from treating our workers in that way.
We're talking with Dr. James Bonnick, Executive Director of Pastoral Education for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about church worker recruitment, and we'll discuss church workers who are dissatisfied with their service and what that sends by way of a message. Stay tuned.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further into Genesis with creation of man, blessed Sabbath, the breath of life, to work and to keep, and a helper. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Concordia University Chicago invites all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is October 28th to 30th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/c4c. cuchicago.edu/c4c.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hopebham.org. Or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Sylvan Grove, Kansas. Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool, Marionette, Wisconsin. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Marshall, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire, Messiah Lutheran, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Pilgrim Lutheran, Kilgore, Texas, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Fairfax, Virginia, St. Paul Lutheran, Bridger, Montana, Trinity Lutheran, Rock Springs, Wyoming, and Zion Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org. Click Support, Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Welcome back. We're talking about church worker recruitment with Dr. James Bonnick. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. So, Dr. Bonnick, if current church workers are sadly dissatisfied with their service,
they're probably less likely to encourage young people to enter church work. As a former district president yourself, do you have any suggestions on how to deal with that?
Yeah, first of all, I think we need to stress the theology of the cross, that there is that tentatio that we talk about, that there is a certain degree of angst and dissatisfaction. There's a certain degree of suffering. Not that anyone should try to apply that to our workers, but there certainly is that. But there are a number of workers, I think, who are truly dissatisfied. I've been reading several articles lately. COVID has certainly affected our pastors and our teachers. And we have a number of things that we're ramping up all the more to help our workers. One is PALS. I'm in charge of post-seminary applied learning and support, helping our young pastors transition into the parish and their wives also into their new setting for the first 3 years of their ministry. And we've had several PALS pastors tell us, boy, this has been so helpful for me when I'm dissatisfied or discouraged. Certainly visitation, our district presidents are primarily there to care for our workers, to visit them often, to encourage them, to pray with them, to share God's word with them, to build them up in the work that they've been called to do. Certainly we've encouraged our pastors to be in the word. It's easy even for pastors and church workers to not be in the word at times, and it is that word that is profitable for our life, our salvation, our dissatisfactions even. And we have doxology out there, and we've been working with them. They do a marvelous job at caring for our pastors, and now after COVID, our commissioned church workers. I would strongly encourage a sabbatical for our church workers. I've just recently heard of a couple pastors who have had that experience, and it's been so refreshing for them. So I think more and more we need to talk to our members, our churches and schools about how do we care for workers. They can best then serve us with the word and sacraments.
So how would one know if he or she is suited for church work?
Yeah, you know, we talk about a number of ways that one is formed as a church worker. We talk about forming them theologically, forming them in their character, intellectual formation, emotional and physical. So one is, I think, as we form Christians, even from infant baptism, we're forming them to love the Lord. We're forming them to love going to church. We're forming them to love the liturgy. We're forming them to love serving God's people. And I think as a child or an adult even, as they come to realize, you know, I really love serving the Lord. I really love being in the Word. I really love people. I care about the eternal life of God's people. Those attributes, I think, rise up, and especially others, the pastor, parents, recognize that in their children or in adults at church and say, you know, I think you've got what it takes to be a church worker. And I think self-reflection does the same. You know, if this is really my love and my interest, then I think I'm suitable and I'm going to pursue church work.
What are some of the specific vocations in church work when we talk about church work opportunities?
Yeah, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod talks about kind of two categories, and we kind of get this from the IRS, so to speak, but let me explain. First of all, we have the minister of the word or ordained. Those are pastors, of course, and that's the one office that is commanded by Christ, as we've said earlier. The Missouri Synod has developed or formed other church work vocations to support that office of the ministry. We call those commissioned workers or commissioned ministers. That's an IRS term, but they're servants of the church. And these vocations include Lutheran school teacher, director of Christian education, deaconess, director of Christian outreach, director of parish music, I'm missing one or two, but those are the basic church work vocations that are concordias. You go to our concordias to be certified in those areas.
Why is it important that we plant the seed of the possibility of future church work with young people?
First of all, I would say that we plant the seed of the word in our young people. We're developing this church work initiative all the way down into infant baptism. And we plant the word, we plant the love of the liturgy, we teach our children the catechism, and we pray that some will then rise up to consider church work. With that, as children, planting the seed of, you know, you might consider being a pastor. We may say that to an acolyte young man, or a catechumen, a seventh and eighth grade catechism student. You've got what it takes to be a Lutheran school teacher. You love people, you kind of have this attribute of teaching. So I think planting that seed little on is extremely important. We've come to realize through some research that we've done that seventh and eighth grade is the prime time when our current church workers said, that's when I really strongly considered being a church worker. So we're encouraging our pastors and DCEs and parents to specifically talk to our children, especially at that age, about considering being a full-time church worker.
What is the best thing about life in church work?
It is the gospel. It is that one thing needful. There are many important things in life. The first article of the Creed talks about many physical things, and those are gifts and blessings from God. But church work certainly focuses on the spiritual life, the saving faith of God's people. And to take that word to God's people, whether it be in the nursing home, a hospice, a new couple getting married, a mom and dad bringing their child for baptism, the student in the Lutheran school, being able to tell them about Christ and Him crucified, that's the best thing. Like many parents and grandparents, I know my wife and I pray every morning for the spiritual life of our children, that they know Christ and have saving faith. And that's what's so marvelous about being a church worker. You do that every single day. You share Jesus Christ with God's people.
Dr. Bonnick, what can you tell us about Set Apart to Serve?
Yeah, Set Apart to Serve is the Synod Church Work Recruitment Initiative. It comes from the convention of 2019. It has grown so wonderfully. It's a collaborative initiative with all the synod. We're working with the seminaries, the Concordia Universities, Concordia Publishing House, LCEF, our Lutheran schools, district presidents. And the focus is on raising up our children from infant baptism through 12th grade to form the faith in them and to have the conversation of being a church worker. So the initiative itself is not for, like myself, to go out and recruit people. It's helping congregations, pastors, parents be able to do that in the home, at the congregation level, at the school level. Right now, we have all 35 districts are involved in a pilot project. We're just kind of getting that up and running, where a pilot congregation from each of the districts will work with us in the resources that we're building out, journey maps of crucial times of having conversation with our children about considering church work. We are also working with Concordia Publishing House right now. We can move forward in developing a full church work recruitment curriculum for infant baptism through adult to be used in the schools and in the congregations. We also have a grant to now move into a second phase, and that second career phase. So the first phase is infant baptism through 12th grade. Now we're just starting to build our second career phase of how do we engage adults in the church to consider church work as a second career. So that's kind of the short version. I could spend days talking about Set Apart to Serve.
How can our listeners help?
Well, this is not trite because the Lord says it himself, pray. the Lord of the harvest, just being very cognizant of the need to pray for church workers. Secondly, look at the children in your own church, parents, pastors, Lutheran school teachers. Encourage them to consider church work. Show them the different ways that they can serve full-time in the life of the church. Like you said earlier, other vocations are definitely good and right and salutary, but we also want to encourage church workers to continue to share the faith, to tell the faith from one generation to the next. Thirdly, there are some financial opportunities. There's currently a matching grant on the LCMS website that will help with our pilot projects. It's a $140,000 matching grant, and we're well on our way in matching that. But that would be certainly another way. But I would say, most of all, have the conversation in your own parish, in your own Lutheran school, raising up our children to consider serving the Lord full time.
Dr. James Bonnick is Executive Director of Pastoral Education for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Set Apart to Serve at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. Bonnick, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Dr. Rick Mars joins us next. We'll talk about putting Christ back into Christian counseling.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Pastor Watson. Are you tired of entertainment and in need of the peace that passes human understanding? I invite you to Augsburg Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Kansas, to receive the gifts of Jesus. Augsburg is scriptural, traditional, historical, sacramental, and reverent. The Church of the Apostles, the Councils, and the Reformers wants to be your church family also. For more information, visit us at augsburglutheranchurch.org.
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
That you, through his poverty, might become rich.